In an age of information technology, it is more difficult for young people to pay attention to Kanians, the deep questions and difficulties they're facing. They may also forget to look up at the stars and be inspired by their ideals. Young people need educators, now more than ever, to help them embrace reality and discover their personal calling. Welcome to Kanians and Stars.
Welcome to the Kanians and Stars podcast. Very excited to be here. Daniel, it's good to see you.
Good to see you also. Good to be here.
Good to be here. Today we will talk about an interesting topic, I think. We will talk about the root of modernity, according to the thought of Leonardo Polo. And Dan, maybe you could say something about why this philosopher, who's actually not that well known, I would say, is so relevant to our initiative.
Right. So at the Kanians and Stars Initiative, what we try to do is help educators, give hope to young people, help them face reality. And Leonardo Polo is a philosopher who passed away a few years ago. He's not very well known. He's from Spain, a Spanish philosopher. And what I think is so attractive about him is that he is a philosopher that is very interdisciplinary. So he talks, he knows a lot about the history of philosophy in general, like continental philosophers tend to know. But then also he's in dialogue with science, he's in dialogue with economics, he's in dialogue with a lot of subjects. So that makes him very kind of interesting for many, very many different fields. So for many different educators as well. Then also he has a very deep philosophical methodology, which helps him say a lot about what it means to be human, what it means to be a human person. And that helps to develop this notion of personal growth, which is, I think, something that is central to our initiative. And also his philosophical methodology of, that sounds a bit technical, but abandoning the mental limit. Sounds even a bit psychedelical.
Okay, that's an interesting concept. Maybe we should just start with that. What does he mean by abandoning the mental limit?
Yeah, so the idea here is that if you have a certain concept, it's very easy to kind of be caught by it, in a sense that, for example, I'm a biologist. I like to study life, and I study evolution. And then I say, well, evolution is very interesting. So now I try to explain everything only through evolution. Or if I'm an economist and I say, well, I see competition. Now I try to explain everything to competition. So there can be like these central concepts, which you kind of, you take and then you build your whole worldview around it. But, it helps you because it gets you further, but it's also limiting because it kind of gets you stuck in that particular frame of mind. So Polo, what he says is, well, we have to kind of look for those areas where we get stuck. And when we realize that we get stuck, we can get unstuck. So we can say, well, we can go beyond that. And I think we'll see that today when we talk about the modern root, what that means.
That seems to be very relevant to us today because we realize more and more that the world cannot be understood just through one lens only. So he helps us to be less reductionist, perhaps.
Yeah, that's it. Right.
That sounds fantastic. About the roots, because this might also need some explanation. The way I understand it, in the wonderful book and translation that you actually published, which is the nice title Freedom in Quarantine, I can show it here, he talks about three roots. But what are roots? Which roots are there?
Yeah. So the Spanish text that I translated here is called Lo Radical y la Libertad, which means, we translate it as root and freedom. And root here means, I kind of think it's funny that as a biologist, you would have me, talk about the roots of human beings. But it's of course a metaphorical root. It's not a biological root. But the root means then, so what is the core of what it means to be human? So what is, and according to kind of three big times and streams of philosophical thought. So, what does it mean to be human according to classical thought? according to Christian thought and according to modern thought.
Okay.
And the point is that if we know the core of what it means to be human, then we can also see how that influences actually many different things. So how does it influence our education, first of all, our ideals of forming young people, but also how does it affect our thinking about knowledge, our thinking about ethics, our thinking about different things like health, you name it. There's really a lot of influences of these kind of core concepts of what we think we are.
Yeah. Okay. So if we understand our roots, or maybe I should say roots, better, then we also understand better how we can think or how we do think about these different areas in life.
Exactly. Yeah. That's.
And so, well, that sounds interesting. And then, so the modern roots then. What is the modern root about? How do we understand ourselves in a modern way? Or maybe what is modern man?
What is modern man? I just, before I go into that, I just want to mention one thing. I think it's for some people who think, well, maybe I want to know a bit more about the background of Leonardo Polo.
Mm-hmm.
We recently recorded a podcast at the Heights School. So it's at the Heights Forum. We can link that below this video. And there I go into a little bit more detail about his life and about his works and so on. So if people are interested in that, they can go there and see that. Okay. But about the modern root. So what does it mean for us to be human in a modern view? So modern thought, and we'll go in a while, I'll talk about how we got there, but the idea is that the human being is kind of a blank slate to start with, but we become human through the things we do. So through the things we produce and the results we produce. So Polo calls it this the result principle.
Mm-hmm.
So what makes us human is kind of the results we produce. Now, let's first start about this at a very intuitive level, right? So if I meet someone nowadays, how do I introduce myself? Or how does the other person introduce himself? What's very, hello, I'm Daniel Bernardes. And what do you do, right? So I'm a teacher. And that is, it's very defining for who we are. So that's like on a very practical level. Also, if you look at how people value success nowadays. So, for example, if we look at our students, they're very, very preoccupied about, getting into the next master or getting a particular grade or, what can I earn later on in life? And of course, these are important questions. So I'm not saying that these are unimportant, but what I'm saying is that these are very important to both modern thought and to the modern or contemporary even life experience. So they are ideas that are very, very central and that are emphasized. Where do you see these in modern thought? Well, in very many different thinkers. So one of the biggest thinkers is Hegel, for example. And he thought as of the human being as also the result of being produced. If you look at Marx, very important modern thinking, of course, he said, he talks about how the worker, what makes the worker is the things the worker produces. And if that's taken away from the worker, then that's alienation, right? So that shows how very central the idea is that we produce things for who we are. But Kant also thinks of knowledge as something we produce. The Kantian ethics, modern ethics is consequentialist. So we think about the consequences of things. And Kant, who is a deontologist, for instance, thinks about rules, but the rules are based on the consequences of our actions, but then for everyone. So you can see this idea of the result comes back in very many different ways in very many different thinkers. And so it's very, I think, important for our current understanding of ourselves.
Yeah, I can see that. The way we understand ourselves has a lot to do with what kind of profession we have, what kind of products or what kind of results are there on account of what we do.
Yeah.
I see my students are quite grade-oriented, so they want good, literally good results. that makes a lot of sense. And in a way, I would say that that's a good understanding of ourselves. Is that the case? Or?
Yeah, well, there's certainly good aspects to it. Of course, well, as we were saying in the previous podcast also, the focus on results, for instance, in the field of knowledge, has had a lot of focus on how can we understand the world around us so that we can also dominate it better and get better results. So you have natural science, which has developed hugely. And again, if we wouldn't have that, we wouldn't be recording this podcast. Mm-hmm. So clearly, we wouldn't be flying around the world everywhere. And so clearly there's a lot of positive thoughts, things also for just material well-being that this has brought to our society. And so I think we shouldn't be ungrateful and say, well, that's all nonsense. No, I mean, that's a lot, and it's very good. At the same time, I think we also see that kind of too much insistence on the results also has its downsides. And these downsides, where do they come from? Well, I think what we've talked about, the complexity of life, right? In social media and in things coming out to us all the time. And that leads, for instance, to problems of attention. So because we have all these things coming at us all the time, it's harder for us to focus on the things that are important. It's harder for us to see which things are important. It's harder for us to also find meaning in things. Maybe in the past that would have been kind of pre-given, but now you have to think of everything by yourself.
Yep.
So life becomes very complicated. You have to, and there's a lot of emphasis on, you know, your results. And if it works, it's great. But what if it doesn't work, right? So sometimes, you know, you're just ill or things just don't go the way you want. Or you want that, you would like to have certain talents, like horse riding. Or I have my own, you know, I would love to be able to, like, for instance, travel a lot. But I also have a kind of a neural condition called Gilles la Tourette, which means that I have to be calm and I cannot travel too much, right? So all of us have our limitations, and that makes that we cannot always receive the results that we would like to have.
Okay.
And that also gives a lot of, if the results are everything that we are and I cannot have it all, then, you know, that says something about me and it hits really deeply. So it can be really beautiful, but it also really has its dangers and its downsides, I think.
Yeah, okay, so it's not a complete picture. And I have to say that I see that in my students as well, that they are results-oriented, which as an educator, I hugely appreciate, right? That they really want to get the best results and get the best out of themselves. But then when it doesn't work, it's difficult. And sometimes I feel that students need tools to deal with disappointment or limitations or so forth.
Yeah.
And there's also something about being very results oriented that makes them very competitive, and competition is good, but my sense is that it's not good if it becomes this sort of endless competition when things are never good enough. But it seems to me that there are good sides and bad sides about, bright sides and darker sides about the modern route, because actually, stepping back a little bit to talk about one of the bright sides, I do see, I as an educator have a lot of appreciation for students, you know, wanting to work hard at their studies. And I also think that that's good for them.
Yeah.
And it will bring them a lot later in life. And maybe in general, this notion that work is something and being productive is something that can contribute not just to society, but also to your own flourishing. Is that something that the modern route has brought us, according to Polo?
Yeah, I think so. In this particular book, we don't really go into that in a lot of detail. He says some things about how this modern route has come to be, right? So I think that's very interesting. Because in a way, it has come to be in kind of opposition to the classical route, which we will talk about, I think, in the next podcast. And so this already started, and this may be a bit weird or shocking to hear, but it already started in the later Middle Ages. So people, there were thinkers who started to see that there was something not complete about the classical route. So we'll talk about that, the classical route next time. But in the classical thought, it was very important. So the notion of, you know, ideas, ideals were very important, and also how ideals shape our lives, in the form of virtues, for example. The classical thinkers didn't have a lot of appreciation for the practical world, right? Because there was, the practical things were for the servants, for the slaves, and so on. And the real free people could think, right? That was an idea. Well, in the later Middle Ages, also influenced by Christianity, actually, in Christianity, so the Greek idea was also that you have, if you become too successful, that's not prudent, because the gods may become envious at you. Mm-hmm. Now, in Christianity, they took on a lot of classical thought, but then there's also something to Christianity which goes against that. So for example, the person of Jesus Christ, he was a carpenter, and that means that the practical has a lot more weight in Christian thought. So and people also saw that. Doing things practically and doing things well is a way of actually expressing love, right? So you can do things well and out of love. That's also what happened in the monastery. So in the monasteries, there was a lot of technological progress, actually. More than maybe, well, there was also something in ancient Greece, but there was clear progress. So these modern thinkers started to think, wait, isn't this classical thinking limiting us too much in our appreciation of practical things and of love? And shouldn't we kind of break out of that so as to have more room for kind of progress and things like that? Yep. So they started to actually, their solution, which I think was an unhappy one. So I think it's a relevant problem, but I don't really like the solution, to be honest. The solution, they said, was, let's debilitate reason. Let's make reason weaker so that we have room for progress. So they said, okay, we're going to use our reason not so much to think about big ideas and things, and even to think about God and so on. That's not so much. But we're going to think about how can we do progress, right? That's how we're going to use our reason. And that's what we find important. This was also influenced because these first thinkers, people like Occam and Scotus, and Descartes then afterwards, afterwards this was also taken up by religious thinkers like Luther. And they had Luther had a very negative view of what it means to be human, right? So, of course he was very much about faith and so on, but faith as kind of getting us out of a very bad situation, right? So we were in a very bad place. We were sinful, and kind of the only thing we could do is for God to say, well, I'm not going to look at your sins. Mm-hmm. But we couldn't really be kind of get out of that situation. Now, a lot of modern thinkers start to think, okay, this is really tough. So they said, they couldn't really deal with that very, very sinful, way of kind of dark view of the human being. So they said, okay, let's say that we start out with nothing. We're not completely fallen. We're not complete angels. We're not complete devils. We're a blank slate. Mm-hmm. But so we're not going to think about our inside too much because it's depressing. So what can we do? We can think about the outside.
The output or the outside.
Yeah. So that's why they put the product very central. Okay. And say, well, okay, we're going to focus on that product. And
that's a positive.
And that's something positive, and we can develop that. And they did. So they developed it marvelously. So that's basically where we are, right? So we're nowhere to start from. We have to make ourselves. And you see that, well, through our results, but I think in postmodernity you see it even more. You know, people even making their gender or making their bodies, making their identities. There was recently someone who wanted to make their race, right? by kind of getting a transformation into a career in someone. So,
so we can make everything, but in that way, and then, I'm not sure where Polo stands on this, but there's something very impressive in the modern route, right? That the modern route and the way we look at ourselves within the modern route, and this focus on well, maybe also creativity and innovation and production, has brought the world a lot of good. Could I ask something specific? Because you mentioned that these outlooks on life or these different routes also help us in more specific areas such as ethics and health. And I know you're a biologist. Could you comment maybe a little bit on how the modern route, for example, helps us think about questions in health?
Yeah, sure. Now I think it's very clear that the technological progress that we've had has made a huge impact on healthcare, right? So we are now very good at you know, if you have a fracture, a few centuries ago, it may have been the end of your active productive life. Now you go to an hospital, you have some machines, and they put things right, and it's there again. So the things we have to care for our bodies, the technology we have is just flabbergasting, right? It's amazing and it's very beautiful. So in that sense, we've made a lot of progress. And interestingly, what you see in medicine and health is that the things we struggle with more are actually the more complicated, the complex diseases, which are more about. So, for instance, I teach about a disease like obesity, and that you could say that, well, that's a very physical thing because people are just, you know, their bodies are oversized, and that's physical, and clearly it is. But at the same time, you see that very often the problems underlying that are not only physical. They are also behavioral. They also have to do with personal relationships that people are in. And these are things that, well, at least kind of a mechanical doctor struggles with. Of course, I mean, it's not like we only think about mechanics nowadays, but there's also psychologists, and they think maybe about other aspects in life as well. But still, these aspects are less central to our living, you know, our value system, you could say, nowadays.
Yeah. So what you're saying also, and you said that early on in the podcast, is that the way we look at the world, if we only look through one route, you can say, then we actually are limiting ourselves and limiting our understanding of things. And I think actually today there seems to be a lot of appreciation for looking at problems more in a more integrated way.
Yeah.
And can you say Polo helps us there?
I think so. Yeah.
Good. And just following up on that, because the Kenyans and Stars Institute, it's not a, or the Kenyans and Stars Initiative is not focused on health, probably. But one of the themes that we find that educators are especially interested in, and maybe also some a theme that challenges them because it challenges their students, is the theme of attention.
Yes.
And the attention span of students. Now, maybe this is a big step, but how could you connect that to Leonardo Polo and the situation and the modern route that we find ourselves in today?
I think so. So on the one hand, it's very clear, right? We talked about this earlier in previous podcasts, that the whole thing of well, we have a complex world, right? And there's a lot of people producing things around us, producing information, and we have a lot of technology that makes sure that this information reaches us all the time. And that has an influence on us. So the way we deal with information, the way we're always looking at our phones, it has a lot of influence on us. So there are studies that show that when telephones became more general, then also, for instance, depression went up, right? So that's another thing. But also, I think the attention spans of people, of students in the classes, come down dramatically because we're always used to get instant gratification, right? So you want to know something, you look it up on your phone and you know it, right? So that's very, very quick and easy, you could say. But it what it makes us less capable of is these kind of sustained effort of really grappling with deep ideas and getting deep into the attention, the depths of things. And I think that especially to motivate ourselves towards a greater ideal and to kind of get out of this superficiality, which I think we try to help our students, we want our students to grow, then this idea of being too superficial is really, and having this very limited attention span is really not going to help them at all to really deal with the deeper issues. So I think it's a kind of a sign of our times, mm-hmm. that we're so much focused on production and doing new things, that maybe, so while that is wonderful and that there's a lot to it, we are forgetting maybe the deeper and more reflective things, and it becomes mm-hmm. more difficult. So we need a bit more attention, so that we can actually help people to get to these deeper layers.
That sounds fantastic. I'm going to ask one more question about Leonardo Polo and the topic of the modern route, because it seems to me that you bring out very clearly that in our times that's so focused on production and understanding ourselves and the value of our own beings also in terms of production, that this notion of attention becomes more difficult. But wouldn't you say that if we understand ourselves as producing beings, then attention can actually also be very valuable? Because
right.
How can we produce things and how can we work? And maybe when we work, today we use this word flow sometimes.
Yeah.
When we work, isn't attention actually very helpful to make us these successful producing beings?
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you. So that's another element which is indeed essential. So attention is not only being challenged; it's also maybe even more important than it was, right? Because if we do want to be successful, of course, if you want to be successful, you need to focus and you need the flow. You need to work hard at one thing, and for that you need attention. So. Even in the modern setting, you could say that it's an essential element, and that's maybe the reason why people feel this need also a lot for being able to focus, which they find difficult. So it's really some kind of a felt need that the world around us today is making difficult, and that therefore we should really help our students with.
Yeah, and in the thought of Leonardo Polo, would you say that then it becomes time to also talk about the classical route?
Yeah, I think certainly we could dive into that maybe in the next podcast, because there's a lot of ideas in the classical thought which we can really be a help for people to regain this focus and regain maybe a bit of balance, which is very important in this classical route.
I'm looking forward to that.
Great. Well, thanks Emma for.
Thank you, Daniel, for a very inspiring and interesting commentary.
This was Canyons and Stars. For more resources, visit canyonsandstars.org. If you would like to support our work, please go to canyonsandstars.org and click on Contribute. Or find us on patreon.com/canyonsandstars. Because young people need educators. Now, more than ever, to help them embrace reality and discover their personal calling. Canyons and Stars. Let's grow together.